Due to the length of today's reading, I invite you to be seated for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting at the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. I love this story of the woman at the well. But this story would have been both fascinating and scandalous to John's audience. Fascinating because when a man and a woman meet at a well in the Old Testament, they usually end up getting married. And scandalous because Jews and Samaritans do not get along. In a nutshell, once upon a time, Israelites were divided into two kingdoms, the north and the south. The northern kingdom's descendants became the Samaritans. The southern kingdom's descendants became the Jews. The Samaritans had intermarried with the Assyrians who had conquered them, and the Jews considered them to be a half-breed people, contaminated, unclean, rejected by God. The Jews in the south were conquered by the Babylonians a century later and exiled for 60 years. Because of this, the Samaritans thought that their religion had become corrupted by Babylonian influence. To the Samaritans, it was the Jews who by their religion were contaminated, unclean, rejected by God. Both groups thought that their temple, the Samaritans at Shechem on Mount Gerizim, the Jews at Jerusalem on Mount Zion, was their true place of worship. By the time we get to the New Testament, the tensions between these two groups had escalated. Samaritans were known to kill Jewish travelers passing through Samaria. Jerusalem is down here in the south, Galilee up here in the north, and travelers to Jerusalem would have had to gone through this region of Samaria. Samaritans were known to kill them as they traveled. Jews sometimes retaliated by burning Samaritan villages to the ground. So in our gospel reading, Jesus is traveling through Samaria on his way north, back home to Galilee, the equivalent of traveling through an all-white or all-black neighborhood during the height of racial tensions here in the 1960s. Jesus stops to rest at the old Samaritan capital city, formerly Shechem, now Sychar, near Mount Gerizim, the Samaritan's holy mountain. While the disciples go into town to get food, Jesus hangs out outside the city at Jacob's well. Now it's around noon, the hottest part of the day, and a Samaritan woman comes to the well alone. This is unusual. Normally, women would get water in the morning at the cool part of the day, and they would go together as a pack and socialize. But not this woman. She's coming at midday when no one else would be caught out in the hot sun gathering water. She's sneaking to this well, trying to avoid people. But she's not going to be able to avoid Jesus. He asks her for a drink. This may seem innocent, but there were certain rules about behavior between men and women in Jesus' day. First, a Jewish man did not initiate conversation with a strange woman. Second, a Jewish teacher would not engage in public conversation with a woman. And third, Jews did not interact with Samaritans because they were unclean and heretics. So Jesus, in the course of this conversation, breaks all of these taboos. Naturally, she asks him why in the world he's asking her for a drink. Jesus puts the question back on her. If she knew who he was, she'd be asking him for a drink, and he would give her living water. There's a play on words here in this phrase, living water. It could mean literal running spring water, or it could mean life-giving water. The Samaritan woman naturally takes Jesus literally, which leads to some confusion. Where does he get this running water? He has no bucket. The well is deep. What is he even talking about? Does he think he's somehow more special than our ancestor Jacob, the guy who dug the well? Jesus pushes back. He says, Jacob's well may be famous, and it may have quenched the thirst of countless people over the centuries. But it can't quench your thirst forever, and you'll always have to come back for more. Jesus' water, on the other hand, will not only quench your thirst, but create a living spring of bubbling water inside you that never runs dry. Naturally, the woman responds, "Please give me this water so I don't have to keep sneaking to this well at the hottest part of the day." She can't yet see beyond her categories of thirst, of springs and wells. She can't yet grasp Jesus' deeper meaning. Jesus can't make her drink, but he can lead her step by step to the water. And now he's going to lead her by exploring her past. He reveals to her that she's been divorced 5 times, and the man she's with currently isn't her husband. To her, he seems like a prophet, and can therefore solve this theological debate that's been raging between Jews and Samaritans for generations. Where is the true place of worship? Is it here on the Samaritan's mountain, or is it in Jerusalem? Here's a photo of Jacob's well taken in the 1800s. You can see the well there in the foreground and Mount Gerizim hovering in the background. And there's a tiny little speck on the top of that mountain, the remains of a shrine on Mount Gerizim. So when the woman says this mountain, she literally means this mountain. It's right there overlooking the well. Once I found this picture, I thought she is being incredibly assertive and challenging in her conversation with Jesus. It's like she's saying, are you going to tell me, as we're standing in the shadow of my holy mountain, that when I worship here, I'm doing it wrong? Last week, Nicodemus, the Jewish teacher, ran out of questions to ask Jesus after just 2. This woman is debating theology. So Jesus takes her lead. The hour is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. This age-old argument will be obsolete. The hour is coming and is now here when worship will be defined not by place or people, but spirit and truth. And then Jesus says, God is spirit. But what does that mean? Jesus taught this lesson to Nicodemus last week. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with the Spirit. In other words, God goes where God chooses, and you do not know where he comes from or where he goes. He might be right in front of your face, and you wouldn't even know it. And so the woman says, I know that Messiah, the Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. And Jesus says, I am the one who is speaking to you. This is a bombshell that Jesus drops in this conversation. He chooses this woman of all people, this woman from the enemy people, to reveal his identity to. And there's no way she can miss it because he uses the divine name. I am the one who is speaking to you. This is a huge decisive moment in the story, but to understand it, we need to take a detour to Exodus. When God calls Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt, God says, I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought my people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain, Mount Sinai, where God will give them the 10 Commandments and teach them how to live as God's people. And so Moses asks, well, if I tell Israel that the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, well, what is his name? What am I supposed to say? And God says, I am who I am. Tell them, I am, has sent me to you. And these Israelites are worshiping the I Am on this very mountain, Mount Sinai, when Moses gives Israel water from the rock in our first lesson. Water and worship wedded together. A rock at Mount Sinai, a well at Mount Gerizim. Holy mountains, holy places, thirst-quenching water. But now, in our gospel reading, the mountain, the rock, the spring, the well, they're no longer a place. They've become a person. The one who identifies himself with the great I Am. the one Israel was called to worship long before the split that divided Jews from Samaritans. Jesus says, I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I will give life to whom I will give life. And that includes Samaritans. Out of this decisive encounter with Jesus, everything changes for this woman and her village. This woman who came to the well to get water leaves her water jar behind. She doesn't need it anymore. The spring of living water has bubbled up inside her and spills over to flood the whole town. Through this Samaritan woman, the enemy of the Jews, an entire town comes to faith and hosts this Jewish teacher and his disciples for 2 days. And through this Jewish teacher, this enemy of the Samaritans, this woman and her town will never be thirsty again. The disciples bring him food and water and wonder why he won't eat, but his food comes through the harvest of this Samaritan community. Jesus was hungry. They were thirsty. Now both are filled. The gifts of God show up at unexpected times, in unexpected places, through unexpected people, even the people we've branded as our enemy. Each of us has our own Samaritans, the people we place on the outside while we think we're part of Jesus' privileged inner circle of disciples. But when Jesus shows up, all notions of privilege are rendered obsolete. We may call ourselves Christians, but he will not be our Christ, our possession. We cannot control where he goes. When we think Jesus is with us and not them, whoever them is, we find him with them. While we are in town getting food, Jesus is offering our so-called enemies living water that won't run dry. Jesus is a bubbling, flowing spring that will not be held back by our artificial boundaries of gender, race, nationality, religion, or any other category or distinction we use to determine who's in and who's out. He will not be confined to our labels, our categories, our temples, our holy mountains. He will not obey our taboos about who's clean or unclean or who he should talk with in public. You'll note that while his disciples were astonished that he was talking with a woman, they didn't dare ask him, "Why are you speaking to her?" We are not Christ's managers. We are not the bouncers for Christ's nightclub. This is Jesus, and he gives life to whomever he darned well chooses. And no one, not you or me, not Catholics or Protestants, not Democrats or Republicans, stands between the gifts of God, life-giving water, and the people of God, which includes even our enemies. Who is your Samaritan? What class of person would make this story most scandalous to you? Would it be a liberal at the well, a fundamentalist at the well, people on welfare, wealthy CEOs, a Muslim woman at the well, an illegal immigrant at the well? What if you caught Jesus hanging out with a Democrat or a Republican? Because Jesus is with all of those people. Whichever group makes you cringe, whichever group it's fashionable for you and your friends to scapegoat, whatever watering holes your Samaritans, your enemy people hang out at, that's where Jesus is, where the water of life is. And if you want to follow him, you'll have to go through Samaria too. Amen.